The Lonely Girl, written and performed by Edna O'Brien.
Chapter 1. It was a wet afternoon in October as I copied out the September accounts from the big grey ledger. I worked in a grocery shop in the north of Dublin and had been there for 2 years. My employer and his wife were country people like myself. They were kind, but they liked me to work hard and promised me a rise in the new year. Little did I know that I would be gone by then, to a different life. Because of the rain, not many customers came in and out, so I wrote the bills quickly and then got on with my reading. I had a book hidden in the ledger so that I could read without fear of being caught. It was a beautiful book, but sad. It was called Tender is the Night. I skipped half of the words in my anxiety to read it quickly, because I wanted to know if the man would leave the woman or not. All the nicest men were in books, the strange, complex, romantic men, the ones I admired most. I knew no one like that except Mr. Gentleman, and I had not seen him for 2 years. He was only a shadow now, and I remembered him the way one remembers a nice dress that one has grown out of. At 4:30 I put on the lights. The shop looked shabbier in artificial light, too. The shelves were dusty, and the ceiling hadn't been painted since I went there. It was full of cracks. I looked in the mirror to see how my hair was. We were going somewhere that night, my friend Baba and me. My face in the mirror looked round and smooth. I sucked my cheeks in to make them thinner. I longed to be thin, like Baba. "You look like you're going to have a child," Baba said to me the night before, when I was in my nightgown. "You're raving," I said to her. Even the thought of such a thing worried me. Baba was always teasing me, although she knew I'd never done more than kiss Mr. Gentleman. "It happens to country mopes like you as soon as you dance with a fellow," Baba said, as she held an imaginary man in her arms and waltzed between the two iron beds. Then she burst into one of her mad laughs and poured gin into the transparent plastic tooth mugs on the bedside table. Lately, Baba had taken to carrying a baby gin in her handbag. We didn't like the taste of gin and tonic so much, but we loved the look of it. We loved its cool blue complexion as we sprawled on our hard beds, drinking and pretending to be fast. Baba had come back to Joanna's boarding house from the sanatorium, and it was like the old days, except that neither of us had men. We had dates, of course. No steady men, and dates are risky. Only the Saturday before, Baba had a date with the man who sold cosmetics. He came to collect her in a car painted all over with slogans. "Give her pink satin. Lovely pink satin for that schoolgirl bloom." It was a blue, flashy car, and the slogans were in silver. Baba heard him honk, and she looked out to see what kind of car he had. "Oh, holy God! I'm not going out in that circus wagon. Go down and tell him I'm having a hemorrhage." I hated the word hemorrhage. It was one of her new words to sound tough. I went down and told him that she had a headache. "Would you like to come instead?" he asked. I said no. On the back seat, there were advertisement cards and little sample bottles of pink satin face lotion packed in boxes. I thought he might offer me a few, but he didn't. "Sure you wouldn't like to see a show?" I said that I couldn't. Without another word, he started up the car and backed out of the cul-de-sac. "He was very disappointed," I said, when I got back upstairs. "That'll shake him. Fake any samples. I could do with a bit of suntan stuff for my legs."